Good morning. It's good to look out over here in the sanctuary this morning. We want to welcome you today to the Boone's Mill Daylight Saving Times Worship Service of the Church of the Brethren. That's a whole lot to say there. We're glad that you're here, and I'm sure because you are, you remembered to advance your clocks forward an hour, and it's good to see you here this morning. It's the fourth Sunday of the Lenten season. We're glad that you're here today for those out in the Sunday school room and those that are in the cars and the driving experience. For all of you that are here today, we say welcome to you. We're just 1 week away from springtime. You know, it was 1 year ago the pandemic was issued as in a crisis level, and the church was shut down. And what a terrible and tragic time it has been. But we thank God that we have been able to continue to have our services and continue to be safe. I'm thankful to God, but I'm glad that perhaps as we continue our vaccinations, wearing our masks, social distancing, doing the things that we can, that soon we will be able to once again have some normalcy as we gather together and worship together. We are in the sermon series, How to Face Our Future, Part 8 today, and the message is how to manage your mouth. Taken from the third chapter of James. Last week in my message about how to have real faith, I said, talk is cheap. It is easy to tell people things, but then to prove what you're saying, that's a different matter. The point I was making was, you can talk the talk, but you also have to walk the walk. And to help understand what I'm trying to say here and what I'm asking, let me give you a quiz. There were five frogs that were sitting on a log that is floating in a pond. And the five frogs have a committee meeting and decide that they're going to jump into the water. So, how many frogs are there on the log? The answer is five. Because talking about jumping into the pond is not the same as actually doing it. You get the point, I hope, from this. You know, today there's a huge disparity between what we say and what we actually do. The present-day politicians lure their voters with their manifestos, which they promise what they're going to do once in office, what they'll perform if they are elected to that important position. But most often they fail miserably because they have promised far more than they can ever fulfill. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Let me ask you a question. How many of you like to talk? Oh, you're afraid, aren't you? This is not a trick, but that's okay. Even if you didn't raise your hand, I know you do. You know, with the pandemic this past year, it's the demands that we stay at home, that we isolate, that we social distance, that we wear masks, and all of these things have made actual talking very limited. But here's maybe a more important question I need to ask you than how many of you like to talk. Maybe I should ask you, how many of you, when you do talk, do you say only good things? Now, I don't want you to answer that. Today, we're going to look at what James has to say about that, what he has to say about how to manage your mouth. We love to talk. Even if you didn't answer that, I know that you do, because we are created that way. We're designed that way. We're wired that way to be interact and engage with each other. Everybody seems to have something to say. And before the pandemic, the average person would have 30 conversations a day. And did you know that actually you will spend 1/5 of your life talking? If you're a man, they say the average man speaks about an average of 20,000 words a day. But they also found that if you're a woman, you speak an average of about 30,000 words a day. Does that surprise you? You're afraid to answer. I understand, and that's okay. But that explains to me why when men are done talking, our wives still have 10,000 words to go. And now, I don't know if that's accurate, but at least I think my wife always gets to have the last word. That's the way it seems to me. But brothers and sisters, our mouths get us into a lot of trouble. And I'm probably in trouble right now with what I've said to open this message. We seem to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Sometimes it doesn't take but a few words to really get yourself in trouble. James talks more about the tongue than anybody else in the New Testament. Every chapter in the book of James says something about managing your mouth. And in verse 2 of our scripture reading, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. James says, if you can control your mouth, you're perfect. And when often when we go to the doctor, he often says, stick out your tongue. Your tongue reveals what's going on inside of you. And that's not just physically, but that can also be true spiritually. James says that you've got to learn to manage your mouth, because what comes out of your mouth is something that's going on inside of you. You've got to get your tongue under control. And so, why must I watch what I say? There's three reasons James gives to this. And we have to learn those in order to manage our mouth. The first one is, my tongue directs where I go. It has tremendous influence and control over my life. Where are you headed in life? Well, look at your conversations that you have with people. Look at the conversations you have with people around you. What do you like to talk about? What do you talk about most often? That has an indication of where your life is going. James says the tongue is small, it's tiny, and because it's tiny, we think it's insignificant. We think it's not an important part of our body. However, it has tremendous power, James says. He says, consider a bit in a horse's mouth. Now, Vonda loves horseback riding, and so do I. And when we have opportunity, and we have in the past, when we go on vacation, we like to try to find a stable nearby where we can go horseback riding. Now, can you imagine that? You get two little people, like Vonda and me, sitting on the back of these huge horses, 2,000 to 3,000 pound horses, and we can control those mighty beasts simply with a little piece of metal stuck strategically over their tongue and with a bridle. Now, likewise, your tongue controls the direction of your life wherever you want it to go. And a little bit of a word or a phrase can influence the direction of where you're going. James says, how you use that tongue, how you use that mouth, says something about the direction that you are going in life. Then James says, well, consider a ship. Have you ever been on a cruise ship? I remember several years ago, Vonda and I took a cruise in which we were on a Christian music cruise where they had tremendous, 12 to 15 Christian bands playing Christian concerts and music while we were on this cruise. And it was just a delightful time of worship through music. But, you know, when you're on a cruise ship, these ships are gigantic in size. Yet, a relatively small rudder directs these huge ocean liners out in the middle of the waves and the winds and sea. Just a small little rudder can guide that huge cruise ship. A little rudder keeps it on course. And our tongue is like that. Our tongue is like a rudder that stirs us. Your tongue is the steering wheel of your life. Did you know that? That your tongue is guiding you. It is the guiding system. Now, if you don't like the way you're headed right now, what do you need to do about that? You need to change the way you talk, James says. James says that my tongue directs where I go because it's coming from something deeper within. It's coming from my heart. And I've got to learn how to control it. So that's the first reason to manage your mouth, is because it directs where you go. Here's the second thing. My tongue can destroy what I have. In verse 5, James gives another illustration. Imagine, he says, of a beautiful forest. It's tall with beautiful trees everywhere. And then he says, just imagine it is completely destroyed instantly with a very little tiny match. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. You remember seeing pictures on the news of the fires in California this past year? Each one of those that started was with just a single spark. And yet it destroyed forests and homes and livelihood and businesses. James says your tongue can destroy like that. You can lose it all. A careless camper with a match can destroy an entire national forest overnight. A careless word can destroy a life overnight. Thousands of lives. Gossip is like a fire. It spreads quickly and it wrecks havoc. I wonder how many people, because of a careless word, have destroyed their marriage or their career or their reputation. Or the reputation of someone else. Or destroyed a church and its unity. Or a word that has destroyed a friendship. The tongue not only has the power to direct where you go, but it also has the power to destroy what you have if you don't learn how to control it. It's like a fire. James says our mouth can cause a chain reaction. In other words, the course of events are like from hell. Satan wants to destroy your life. Satan wants you to follow him and to be his follower and do the things that he directs you to do. James says that what we do and the way we destroy is set on fire by hell, by Satan, who is a liar. And who is the father of lies and who tells you all kinds of things that you should do and things that are okay and that who's going to ever know. Those are things set on fire by hell. And James says you've got to learn to manage your mouth, not only because it can direct where you go, but it can destroy what you have. And then you can lose everything simply by what you say. It's like a fire. In Proverbs 21:23, if you want to stay out of trouble, Proverbs says, be careful what you say. What your mouth says can be like a poison. The word in Greek literally means snake venom. Just a few drops can kill. You can assassinate somebody with your words. You can assassinate their character. The tongue is a deadly weapon. The tongue has the power to direct where you go, and it has the power to destroy what you have. But the third thing is, my tongue displays who I am. It reveals my real character. It tells what's really inside of me. First, James points out how inconsistent we are in our speech. In verses 9 and 10, he says, the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father with the same tongue that then we end up cursing men who've been made in God's likeness. And from the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. We say these things out of the same mouth. We come to church on Sunday. The highest value and use of our mouth is to use it to praise God, to thank Him for what He's done for us, the life that He has given us. That's the highest use of our mouth, is praising God. But then we walk out, we get into the car, and we are on our way home, and we began to get in an argument, and we say hurtful things to the ones that we love the most. 1 minute we're praising God, and the next we're cursing other people. Cursing doesn't necessarily mean profanity. It means anything that we say that puts someone else down. Anything else that hurts and harms and does destruction to someone else. Any kind of put down is a curse. And he says, why curse men? They're made in God's image. How can you do that? Why would you do that? How is it possible to be talking in love and kindness 1 minute and then to be talking in hate the next minute? And James gives the answer to that, which he's asking. He says it in verses 11 and 12. He said, considers the course. This is the source of why this might happen. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? He said, can a fig tree bear olives, or can a grapevine bear figs? And he says, no. Yeah, that can't happen. He said, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. That's not going to happen. So the point is, whatever is in the well comes out in the water. Whatever is in the tree comes out in the fruit. My problem is not really, James is saying, my problem is not my tongue. My problem is my heart. Whatever's inside is what comes out. My mouth will eventually betray what is really on the inside of me. I can fool you and I can pretend, but eventually my tongue is going to catch up with me. And eventually you're going to see what's really down there. It's going to let you know what's really inside. So if you've got a problem with your tongue, it's much more serious than you think. You have a heart problem. A person with a harsh tongue has an angry heart. A person with a negative tongue has a fearful heart. A person with an overactive tongue has an unsettled heart. A person with a boasting tongue has an insecure heart. A person with a filthy tongue has an impure heart. A person who is critical all the time has a bitter heart. And on the other hand, a person who is always encouraging has a happy heart, a good heart. A person who speaks gently has a loving heart. A person who speaks truthfully has an honest heart. So, how do I manage my tongue? Here's the second part of this message. What is the solution? Get a new heart. You've got to have a new heart. That's the problem. In Ezekiel 18:31, it says, rid yourself of all your offenses that you have committed and get a new heart and get a new spirit. And so painting the outside of the pump doesn't make any difference if there's poison inside in the well. I can change the outside. I can turn over a new leaf. I can try to be better. But what I really need is a change inside. I need a change in my life. What I need is a fresh start. What I need to let go of all the past and basically to be born again and to start over and to have God creating me a new heart. I need to get a new heart. And how do I do that? How do I get a new heart? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new person. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. New life, a new heart, a new spirit. That's something only God can give. When you come to Jesus Christ, He wipes out everything that you've done in your past. He makes the slate clean. A lot of people say, well, that doesn't sound fair. No, God's grace is not based upon merit or what's fair. It's based upon grace, which is you get something you don't deserve. But God says, when you come to me, I'm going to start over in you. We need to pray like David prayed in Psalm 51, where he said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a new spirit. Because what is in my heart is going to come out in my mouth. And so I need a new heart. I need a clean heart. You need divine power to do that, brothers and sisters, to have a changed heart. You need supernatural power to control your tongue. You can't do it on your own. You need the Holy Spirit to make that possible. We need to ask God to help us. And in Psalm 141, verse 3, it says, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. You know, that's a great verse to wake up to every morning. Is to say, God, I want you to put a muzzle on my mouth. I want you to guard my lips. Don't let me be critical today. Don't let me be judgmental today. Don't let me say anything that would be off the cuff that I would regret. You need to ask God every day because you need His power in your life to overcome. Getting into God's Word is part of that. That's part of asking God for help. That's why I encourage you to read God's Word every day. Let it become a habit. Let it become not only a habit, let it become something that refreshes you every day. Get into the Word of God, because getting into God's Word is a part of asking God for help. As you ask Him for help, you need to know what His help is. You need to read His Word so that you know what His help will be. What goes into your mind as you read goes into your heart. And what goes into your heart comes out of your mouth. Fill my mind, Lord, with the Word of God. With the Holy Spirit, with the precious Word of God that will be eternal. What does your tongue say about you? What does your tongue reveal about you? What's in your heart is going to come out in your mouth. And what you need, what I need, is to let God change my heart today. Would you pray with me? Oh God, every one of us here this morning in my hearing have a problem at times controlling our tongue. And oh God, we need some work on our heart. We need a new heart. We need a new spirit. And God, we're just inviting you to come into our life today, Lord, and make me like Jesus. God, would you give me the help I need today? Lord, forgive me for the things I've said that were out of place. Help me with a new start today. And God, I know I can't do this on my own. I need your help. And that's why I'm coming to you. And help me to read your word every day and fill my mind with good things. Oh God, I pray that as you change my heart, that you will be giving me a caring, loving heart. Take control of my life, Father, the rudder of my life, and guide me in the direction that you wish me to go. Oh God, I just pray that if for someone who's never really turned their life totally over to you, that they will say, Lord, not only do I want you to change my heart, but I want to give my heart to you fully. Oh God, help us to use our mouth, our tongues, to bless people. Help my tongue to give light and warmth rather than destruction and saying things that hurt and tear down. Oh God, change my heart. I come to you now, and I surrender my all to you. In the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
You are.